Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration, with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call in number is 646-595-3440, so kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Really, I don't know, they were just kind of, they were kind of bothered by the drumming, which is kind of strange. I can understand, because drumming will knock things off your body, like if you're like having issues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Drumming will actually dislodge negativity, will dislodge entities, will dislodge things that are attached to you, and things that are not pretty much welcome. And then they'll open up things that you don't want to see. Drumming is a very powerful tool, but our intentions were pure, and our intentions were love, so hopefully that resonated through the room as we drummed through there. But we really kicked it really hard on Saturday.
Yeah, that first drumming we did, it was very intense, and it's just like I was drumming, and I was closed my eyes, and I just let it flow, my hands and everything on the drum I have. And all of a sudden, my tears start coming out of my eyes. So whatever I had been going through kind of kicked itself off, because I came in that morning, I was a little grumpy and not feeling good because my body has been in some pain, and the medicine I take hadn't been really helping with the pain.
Yeah.
But I believe that kind of helped me out when we did that drumming at the end. So
we drummed on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of nice. We enjoyed that as well. But, you know, it was interesting because Saturday's energy was really, really heightened. I mean, it was like really like you could feel the anticipation in the room. You could like cut through it with a knife, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who go there invest a lot of money in these booths and a lot of time that they invest creating the situations and scenario. I think there's a lot of tension because, you know, holistic practitioners and metaphysicians and people who do readings and people who take aura pictures and whatever, they all are anticipating to make some kind
make
of money.
Money.
You know, I mean, that's the world we live in, regardless of how sparkly you are.
And you pay what, $300 for a booth,
and
then you expect to try to make that back plus more. And what did we go? We went with the attention just to have fun.
And we did have fun.
And we had fun.
We did have fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie to anybody. I had a great time.
I'm glad I made some money on top of the fun.
Sure.
But, you know.
It's like a little mini vacation for me.
So when you go with the intent, okay, we're going to spend this and we're going to go have fun and not have any other expectation, I think you get blessed on top of that, because you're going to have fun and to help people and to enjoy yourself without anything in return, but the Great Spirit will give us a return on top of that, because we weren't expecting anything but to share our gifts.
Right. So, I totally agree with that.
And then you got to do some clearing and some healings and things with people, and so did Mark Matheny got to do some readings, and I don't know, David got to dance his crow dance and
we painted
do some
a shaman.
Things himself and paint a shaman, and It was a beautiful time. And our friend Adriana got to do a little belly dancing herself, and Mary got to play drums, and I saw her dancing a little bit, and some of our other friends were there having a good time and walking around, and some other people that we knew, friends and healers and stuff, had their own booths, and Siege was there, and he, Gary, who has his show, Crystal Ball show. He was there. He was doing readings and clearings, and he had a good time. He had his own booth. And we were going to share a booth with him, but it just worked out that we got our own booth. So, you know.
So I want to thank Kelly for that. Kelly Berman. She helped us out with that deal, so that was good. I was happy.
So it was a good time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. it was a good weekend. And I think eventually the next day, the energy was, you know, subsided a little bit. It was a little more calmer.
Because
it was like a big wave rolling through there, and I was like, rawr. You know, I could feel it. I mean, I'm pretty empathic, too. So, you know, when you feel that energy rolling through there Saturday, everybody's trying to get ready. Everybody's anticipating. And, you know, the weather wasn't so super great in the beginning, but then it got better. Then the next day, you know.
We had a rainy day on Saturday. It was rainy till about 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the sun decided to come out. And it was a good later afternoon and day on Saturday. And then Sunday was amazing, the day.
Yeah, you guys drummed outside, too. I didn't get to drum with you outside because I was manning the booth for you.
Yeah, a few people came outside to listen to us drum. And that was nice.
We're going to welcome
Caw, Caw, two crows.
He is in the room.
Or as you might call me, better late than never, Crow.
Better late than... You're looking for the other crow.
Yeah. So I understand. It sounds like Katie's calling in, too.
No,
she's here.
I'm live.
Her mic.
You're live? Wow. Are you sure? Can you touch yourself and make sure?
Oh,
okay,
geez.
All right.
She's there. I can see her.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be joining. I'm sorry I'm late. I got stuck on a phone call at work, and then I got stuck in traffic, and, you know, pretty much stuck everywhere. So now I'm unstuck.
You're here with us.
Okay, that's good.
We were talking about ULE, not ULE, but Gift of Light, and the weekend, and how the Saturday was a little intense, and then the next day was a lot better. We were just kind of talking about the things we were doing there together as a group.
You know, I caught the part about being empathic, and that is pretty synchronistic because I've been chatting, you know, through a messenger with a young woman who lives outside of Columbus, and she's been saying how she's been feeling all these feelings and emotions and other people's, you know, thoughts and feelings. And I told her, you're empathic, you know, and it's a gift, but it also requires you to take care of yourself. And, you know, trying to think about hooking her up with some people here in our group that can help her out. You know, she's a young pagan, probably stuck in a rural community somewhere where she's not understood and can't express who she is. And I know what that feels like.
Sure.
I think we all kind of know what that feels like, you know. And so she says, I'm still looking forward to moving to Ohio and, you know, just being, your group sounds so great, the people you're with, you know. And so I'm trying to mentor her just a little bit, you know, to give her some hope, you know, because I know I needed that when I was feeling that way too. So,
sure.
But when you said empathic, it just kind of brought that to mind. You know, there's people out there all over the place who feel like they're islands of, you know, themselves, who don't feel they'll ever connect with the people that they need to connect with. And I want us to be that oasis where people can find connection, even if it's from a distance, you know, through correspondence or telephone or whatever, you know, to be a network of people that can give hope to those who feel so alone. You know, when we feel alone for so long, you know, you might think about even, you know, ending your life or something like drastic like that. And I am so glad I never got to made that permanent decision, you know. But I think we have a lot to offer in that regard. And getting back to the Gift of Light experience, what an amazing time that was. You know, it was our first booth, as you probably mentioned. But what a great opportunity to connect with people and see old and new friends and just be out there and get our feet wet with grace.
Hey, just a heads up, our producer, Adriana, from her vantage point says we're having feedback from you, so our voices are being echoed back.
Oh, hold on. Oh, you know, I think it's the headphones. Hang on.
Okay, so I can hear the echo.
Okay.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hear ourselves now. That's weird you would have headphones on and feedback.
Yeah, mine did that.
You think it would be the opposite. You can just isolate the sound, but whatever.
Well, I apologize to our listeners for the feedback there, but the connection is clear.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we were there to, you know, be of service. You know, I mean, whatever happened, we brought laughter and joy like we always do to the whole thing. And we also had people, I think we made people analyze themselves a little bit, think about, you know, maybe maybe I'm angry, maybe I need more work to work on, you know, because we were like right next door to two readers. And I know we were loud at times. And I know. And the person across from us was just watching us like it was awesome. I finally talked to the lady across from us, and she was so excited I came over and talked to her because she couldn't leave her booth, you know.
Oh, yeah. She had all the lotions and things.
And she just saw how much fun we were having, and we were just joking around. And then she saw the energy I was running on people, and she just saw the little thing, you know. And so I told her a little bit about us, and she was so excited, and she's going to check us out. So it's just funny how it was. I ended up talking to the two readers on the side of us, and they were just, I mean, I think it was more me concerned about, you know, interrupting their flow a little bit, because I wanted to be respectful. But they had a good time.
I never wanted to do that.
Yeah. They had a good time, you know.
And me and the one girl, her and her dad, what's her name, Melinda?
Melinda Carver, psychic.
And we kind of, she was in her own, but I got her to start playing around a little bit and loosening up some, because me and her dad were talking and kidding around, and I'm like, and just like we were just sharing before, our intentions of being there was just to have fun and be of service, more so than using our modalities, so to speak. I mean, we were there to use our modalities, but we just had the intention to just go and have fun, you know, for the most part, and not really expecting a whole lot in return, we got a return, just because, I guess, my thing is we got a return because we weren't expecting so much to get
That's
a return.
That's true. I was having a great time. Like I told you, it was like a little mini vacation for me.
Yeah.
I got to mess around and dance and
drum. The universe surprised me.
And then
us.
I came back to the booth when I needed to come back and work on things. And, and you know, there were some pleasant surprises along the way for me.
And it happened. Things happened when they were supposed to happen.
That's right.
You know, so.
Yeah. I just want to thank you, Katie, for staying in the booth for so long and manning it for us, you know. That really helped. And I hope it gave you an opportunity to sell some of your wares and to be there for people who had questions. But you're a trooper. You're a real hard worker for our group, and I appreciate you.
It was a joy too, because I've had a lot of bodily pain, so I couldn't do a lot of walking around or drumming or anything like that, because my arthritis and stuff has been bothering me a little bit much. And just like I had written on we were messaging back and forth, it's just the laughter and stuff helped me out a whole lot to keep me from thinking about my own pain and discomfort and all of that, just being there. Because if I was at home, I'd probably just medicate myself and sleep, you know?
I hear you.
You know, laughter and being with people and keeping your mood up helps to alleviate pain. Physical pain, you know, so that helped me. That helped me too. So we all helped each other, you know. That's what we're here for,
right?
On this journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I heard you also talking about the difference between the 2 days and the energies. You know, and I was the first one of our group to arrive there on
I was
Saturday,
last.
And we bookended, you know, everyone else was in the middle. Yeah. Well, it was the power was out, and people were kind of grumpy about setting up in the dark. And I was just, you know, I met Kelly right away, so I followed her around. And she kind of laid out the program and what was going on there, and talked with her for a little bit. And, you know, for me, I just relaxed into it. You know, we're kind of go with the flow kind of people, but for those people who had like these strict schedules and like things orderly, and this is probably not the best experience for them, but. For me, it was like a big family reunion or kind of a circus almost, you know. I went out and I got painted twice, you know, for charity. And
that was awesome.
It was fun. You know? I know, you know, and I want to bring that kind of, we all want to bring that kind of energy to these events because, you know, we can get kind of uptight in our own little worlds. And, you know, there's people who are very sensitive to energy. So if we bring the negative energy or the uptight energy and the me energy, then it's just going to amplify.
You know what's funny is, if they could hire us to do like the entertainment part, like we could go around, you know, just do stuff. I mean, if you think about it. And what's cool is they could have put an outside pavilion outside for drumming and for like louder music type stuff, and people would go outside.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a matter of communicating and working with somebody, and knowing, you can actually do this at the fairgrounds better than you probably could at Vets,
where
we were before, or the convention center. But I think the situation is perfect for if you wanted to do. All you got to do is open that big door and close it, and we just make a circle back there. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement. And Kelly did reach out to us, and a few of us were sitting with her in private.
Mm-hmm.
Inside one of the little vortex rooms there, we were talking, and, you know, she wants it to be a big thing. She wants it to do, but it'll only grow as big as your imagination will take you. And so, you know, if she wants it to get bigger, I really believe she needs to step out of her own paradigms, too.
And promote.
And find people who want to work with that, you know, move that energy around a little bit. Because she's doing a great job. She's doing just enough what she's comfortable with, where she's comfortable. And that might be good, you know, for her. But I think people want more. I think people are looking for more. I mean, it's you get the same old, same old. You're going to get the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you liven it up a little bit, we've talked about this, creating a circus environment, creating something that's very magical, something that's like, you
hoopers
know, maybe
and fire hoopers and spinners and drummers, and you know, we can have all the tools and all the pieces of that pie right now.
I mean, you can have people hanging from the ceiling, spinning around on a freaking rope.
And I would say, too, have the readers to one side that's quiet, and then have everybody else, the crystal people, the, you know, people that are more commerce and retail-oriented that are selling things, have them to to another side. I know some people like to mix it up so people can see a variety of stuff and not all people that are, I would say, in competition so much with each other or in one place. But if you need quiet, then, you know, have the quiet side and then maybe have some of those almost like soundproof barriers in between, and then have a more loud, because when you're selling your wares, it's going to be more loud because you're talking to people about your product.
You can actually create like these little villages within the show. You know, you can have like Reader's Hollow, and then you can have like Gemstone Quarry or something, where all the people who are selling stones are all lined up in one little area, you know.
Gemstone Quarry,
the like a bazaar or a marketplace.
Yeah, like a bazaar, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have that. You have to have that vision, and you know, and when you look around, everybody does the same exact thing, and you get the same exact results.
Mm.
If you drive it's like driving a car. If you drive a little Ford Escort, and that's all you know, you're going to drive a Ford Escort. But if you want to drive the Mercedes, and you want your show to look like a Mercedes-Benz, then you have to kind of create this environment, this beautiful flow of energy that's just, you know, you have to paint the picture. People have to want to come to this thing. They want to, like, I got to go to this show because
there's some excitement there. There's something, some anticipation.
Yeah, because David Two Crows is flying through the roof on a rope or something, you know? You know what I'm saying?
He's got his crow wings out, and he's flying around with his... with his mask and
beard. I've got some great ideas. You know, I've got some wonderful costume ideas and things we could really do. And, you know, you're right. I'm in a cubicle all day long. I don't want to be in a little box anymore, you know. And that's, you know, Kelly's great, and those kind of things are good. But, you know, people want to be outside the box. They want to be, free. And I think we need to bring some of that freedom to our people.
Even if it was a light, you know, sound music in the background, like maybe something more gypsy-ish and a little bit, ding, ding, you know, like some guys playing the horn, ding, 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 you know, like the market, you know. You know, I mean, even if it's really soft in the background, you know, you have to create an ambiance. You know, you got to create the ambiance, you know.
Bring the belly dancers through, you know, bring those belly dancing girls through and stuff, you know. You know, that kind of thing.
Having some people walk around drumming lightly, but
I was like, drummers don't drum lightly.
I don't think that would have gone over well.
No, that sounds boring.
That's like going to a tractor pull, you know, and you put a Toyota out there and tell them to pull a 10,000-pound block. You know, you want the big truck. You know, when you call the Condor Eagle drummers, man, we're like here to rock the house.
Yeah, we come down. Yeah, that's right. But I understand. You know, I totally get that. Psychics don't want to be disturbed. I really understand that, and I'm sympathetic to that. But like you say, you know, we should have our own area, and let's just make sure that we do next time, or that they understand that that's what we want. We're good enough to be featured performers, not tail ends and filler for other people. It's we're good enough to have stand on our own.
Panda Landa Landa Land or something.
And you can get for conferences and stuff those little soundproof wall barriers. They're just almost like the ones that you have like in Cubicle World and most, you know, most corporations. But they can be tore down and put up very easily, just like the curtain barriers that they have, you know? So, but it's like, I don't know if places like the fairgrounds have those available to use, or if people would have that were who really need it quiet, they can invest in their own by going to a used office store place. I mean, they're not very expensive because I've seen them myself, and they're, you know, like one section is about, at a used office store place, is about $25 bucks. And really, you only need maybe four of them.
Put a wall up.
Yeah, that's what basically they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and that's a, would be a good investment for someone who really needs the quiet spaces to invest in about four of those. And they'll have their own little cubicle-type place, but they need a van or something to carry it around.
And I understand that you want to put diversity within the whole show, too. You know, you don't want to, you know, I understand what they're trying to do, too. So it's not like that. But we've talked about this many times, you know, about creating something similar, and where we wanted to create something that's really fun and inviting and you know, very, very catchy, you know. You know,
it's
even like the fair, even like the Ohio State Fair, it's boring now, you know. It's not the same as a kid.
It's not,
you know,
like when I was a kid.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's the fair, you know. No one even goes to the fair anymore like they used to.
I need a funnel cake, go on a ride and throw up. You know, that's in the heat. You know?
But
well,
I think,
hey, let
I think,
me share a few. Okay,
go
I'm
ahead,
sorry,
David.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, you know. No, you. No, you.
I forgot what you were going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. No, actually, I want to share a few of the special moments from Gift of Light Weekend with you that stick out in my mind, you know.
Okay, cool.
One of them is being in that vortex room with Kelly and Don and Rick, Dave, and you and me, just kind of sitting around in that place with, it had spinning sheets on like a spindle of some kind up at the top, you know, and there were gaps in between the sheets. And behind the sheets were projected laser lights and patterns and colors, and very, very kind of ambient music was playing. And there was a crystal hanging down from the center of this dark area with a light underneath it that would change colors. And it was just very fascinating and you know, I'm not going to say mesmerizing, but it puts you in a very calm state of mind. And it was, you know, I felt that for a while afterwards, but that was a special moment to share with you. And I was hoping more people would find out about that, but it was kind of tucked away a little bit behind the curtain. And then another moment that sticks out in my mind right away is when that little pony came around.
Butterball
was just about as big as a German Shepherd, you know, and but this, the cutest little horse, you know, and you got down there and took a selfie with him, and it was just beautiful.
Me and Butterball.
You know, it was great. It was great. And, of course, walking the labyrinth Sunday morning was great. I mean, it was quiet. I was by myself and just taking that time to be meditative before the show started up again. I went back later and I asked Kelly if I could paint on the labyrinth a little bit, so I added some features to that. And as I was painting, a little girl came up and wanted to watch me, and she was very curious about the whole thing and asking me, you know, is that red? Are you painting red? I see pink, you know. So she was just communicating, and, you know, I'm glad that I was there for people to connect with like that, you know. I know a lot of kids nowadays are told, don't talk to strangers and, you know, all that. And I think it puts a lot of fear into people, you know, that the next person out there is just waiting to hurt them, you know. And we've lived in enough fear, you know, and it's people like us should step forward and show that not everyone's, you know, waiting to you know, hurt you. So there's healers here, too, you know, and that's the opportunities we can have to do things like that. So. And Sunday morning, too, when Mark came in, just the mood that we were in was just so fun. I mean, we were making jokes left and right and just, you know, it's like I told you in the
that
text.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was fun because we had you laughing. You were crying. You were laughing so hard.
Oh, my God. I was I always thought I was going to pee my pants one time. You guys were making me laugh. So I was like, I had to get up and
he
leave.
Was like, come on and go. Maybe we should have been a comedy team or something.
Oh, yeah. We should have, like, step right up, Bet.
Oh, and it was too bad you couldn't join us for dinner afterwards.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that was hilarious. It was,
I bet it was.
It was three times the expo stuff.
Those people are going to give you your own section of PJs, you know?
They
were going to put us in the
too,
bathroom.
So, yeah.
Your table's in the bathroom.
So we had such a good time at the expo, though. It was so fun.
But that's what memories,
yeah.
That's how you build memories with people.
Yeah.
That's how you build, you know, camaraderie with people. That's how you build love. That's how you build hope. That's how you build community. That's what it's all about, you know?
And then, people were asking us, where are we going to be at the ULE? Are you all going to be at the ULE? You all going to be at the ULE? And I'm like, yeah, I believe so. I think I believe we have a booth and stuff. I was telling them, so look for us at the ULE.
Yeah.
So, hey, we make an impression.
Yes, we do.
You know, and
we hope it's a positive one.
Yeah, and even before we had a booth, people would always ask us, do you all have a booth? Do you all have a booth? And when we were just walking around, you know, we're just like, no, we don't have a booth this time, but we're going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, it's just like, it's this time for us to have something, you know, to have a presence.
Yeah.
I think people like our presence, even though we can be loud and funny and disturb more of the, you know, introverted type people. For the ones that need quiet. I mean, spirit can speak to you through loudness and stuff too, but I know some people want to concentrate, and we don't mean to be rude to them so that's just who we are, you know. I mean, we're not rude, but we don't mean to be rude, but we're just have such a presence of positivity and laughter and fun, and even people were like curious when they were watching Iggy do his readings and his clearings with people. He makes that look interesting and fun and stuff, and you know, you get the curiosities going. What is that? What is he doing? How does he do that?
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing to that person? You know, spraying them with a spray bottle.
It's not the usual stuff that they're used to seeing, you know.
No.
You know, and we're dead serious. Let me just say this. We're dead serious when it comes to doing what we're here to do and being of service. You know, we'll just, you know, we're not here to joke around with everything and everyone. It's just, you know, we have lots of fun with what we do. And we enjoy being in each other's company. And we will make you laugh, you know, if you need to laugh and everything. But, you know, we're serious as a heartbeat when it comes to why we're here and what we're doing, and it's good. We all understand that, and as eclectic as we are, and it's from all the backgrounds we come from, we've met here for a reason, and when we work together well. So
I did something with someone. I had to talk to them very seriously about an issue that was coming to them, and even I'm like, okay, I yuck it up and I get laughter too, but when I'm with somebody telling, you know, letting them know what they need to do and how they need to be in order to get something cleared up in their life, then I get very serious and my demeanor changes. And I had to talk to someone about getting the fear out of their life and getting these entities from attachments and entities away from following them around and what they needed to do to keep them clear. And she was like, her eyes are big, and she was like, you know. And then I sound like I was preaching and you know how you can watch yourself. You're standing outside of yourself watching yourself work.
Sure.
Then later I was very serious and straightforward with her, and then I had to leave her with love and give her a hug and let her know, you know, leave her, be serious, and then leave her in love, you know, if you can understand what I'm saying. And I said, do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what you need to do now to keep your life clear and to keep the entities away? And she understood what she needed to do. So, yeah, it's not all laughter and games and stuff, but because when we have to do our work, if you do serious business and you change over into that other mode, that personality, and then when it's over, you can change back. And I
yeah.
wonder if our listeners understand what I'm saying. I hope they do. Cause,
I do.
You know, you can see two sides, and I've seen that side of all of us. When we're doing
right.
our healing and clearing work, we can jump into that
mm-hmm.
seriousness of being the minister, and then after the ministry is over, we can jump back out and be the clown or
yeah.
the regular person or who we need to be.
I'm glad David said that, because the work we do is you know, very, it's our calling.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we resonate with, and it's super important to us. I know it's super important to me. I know it's important to
yeah.
you. I know it's
mm-hmm.
important to Dave. I mean, it's our passion. It's our love. It's not like we're just doing this because it's a hobby and we're just trying to have fun. Because, you know what you get when you do a hobby. You get hobby
mm-hmm.
results. But for us, it's more to
right.
reach out. This is a ministry. This is something to reach out.
It's to
beyond,
change people's lives.
Beyond this planet, you know, in my opinion. You know, we want to reach the whole world, but we know that it reaches beyond that. Even with this radio station, these frequencies are bouncing around the earth and going into outer space. And, you know, the things we are saying is affecting the world. And sometimes, like Dave and I had this conversation, we don't see the results in our lifetime. And that's not important if we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's important is that we're
right.
at least saying something and changing. Well, I always say, if we change one person's life, then we've changed someone's for the better.
Mission
and we changed our life, too.
Right.
Accomplished, we achieved mission accomplished ourselves, too, inside of our
and
heart.
Then that one person that we touch will touch someone else and help change theirs, and then another, and another,
and we've
and
seen
another.
It. We've
yeah.
seen it over and over. The things that we've done and the work that we've done, and people have come up to us. We had like 10 people come up to us during the expo throughout both days that said that they listened to our shows like on a regular basis. I wasn't shocked, but it was cool to actually meet, you know, people who listen to our shows that we've never met before, and
mm-hmm.
they loved all the shows. I mean, I was just like,
that's
thank
good.
You know.
You know, we talk on the show and we wonder, you know, is it just us three talking? Is there anyone else out there? We know there's a few people, but it's to know that you know, people are listening consistently and faithfully and that, you know, we have something interesting for them to listen to, you know, that they feel that they want to come back again and again. I really appreciate
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and because we pour ourselves into these shows and we open our hearts up and try to be just as real as we can be.
I was even asked for my autograph, so hey, I got an autograph on the flyers, you know, so I don't know what that means. But
and then one lady got to do his books,
yeah,
you know,
his books.
And I mean, and then we're known for our hugs, and
yeah.
I don't know how many people I hug.
We need our free hug shirts. Even somebody came up to ask, looking for Todd.
Mm-hmm.
She had a gun. I don't know what that meant, but no, I'm just joking. No, that was just easy. No, but she wanted to meet Todd.
Yeah,
she wanted to, she listened to his show, you know. And
I
told,
like,
Todd yesterday that
Todd was
wow.
We needed Todd there. He's part of us, so hopefully Todd, you'll be able to come to the ULE and be a part of us.
I, you know, Todd, he was
right.
spent the night, and I go, Todd, you know, you had a fan looking for you yesterday. He's like, what? Well, you had one person who wanted to talk to you about who she just loved your show. So I'm like, okay. It's just weird. And we had one lady came drum with us on the weekend.
Yeah.
She stayed at our booth. We loved her, man. She was awesome. She'd never drummed before, and she had a great time. And she was just, I mean, it was just a good weekend, man. It was just positive. Even with the little quirkinesses that we had in between, which was fun. But it was still, you know what, I was just like, and Adriana warned me ahead of time that we were going to have some kind of like
little clashes. Even
with,
between our little group, we have some different personality
yeah.
clashes.
But we had, you know, with the drumming, not to bring that back, but, you know, we had some issues where people were kind of like, you know. So she let us know, but, you know, and her energy raised the group too. You know, she brought, you know, vibration and raised with her little zills. I love her zills when she plays them. It just accompanies our drumming really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone brings something to the table, you know, and like you were saying with Todd and all the people on who have shows on our network, and also just the people that we are around. You know, we can seem very diverse, but we have pieces of that, the whole picture that we bring to it, too, you know, and some of
mm-hmm.
us maybe resonate with some people more, and some people gravitate towards this person more, but we all
mm-hmm.
understand that we're a team, you know, we're a unit,
mm-hmm.
We're team shaman, or it's conger eagle, you know, we're
yeah.
we're one.
Mm-hmm.
We are the Condor Eagle Society.
Yep. We're a positive bunch of people at times. And then at times not.
That's right.
That's normal. We're humans.
Yes.
That's right. We don't pretend to be anything else, yep. You know.
We are spirit having
a
human
angel.
Experience.
Right. I'm here to be myself. Right.
Well, let's go to a little break, and we'll be right back, guys, okay?
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, and we are here live in Columbus, Ohio with Katie Singing Eagle and David Two Crows. And we are talking about our experience at the U and how much fun we had together and all the neat people we met along the way and made some new friends and rekindled some old energies and fires with people that we, you know, we haven't seen in a while, so that was really cool. One of my highlights...
It was.
One of my highlights of the weekend was actually... drumming, of course, but painting you. That was fun. I got to actually paint you the next day, which was pretty fun. I got into it. I mean, I was really like, man, I'm painting a canvas. I kind of felt your energy, and I was kind of putting the love into it, and then dancing through the labyrinth. But one of the cool things was when I was – I actually got to take – I actually did an aura pictures with Adriana. We took individual aura pictures, which was really cool. We got to see, you know, our energies and how they match and stuff. Then we took one together to see what it would look like. So it was really cool to see, you know, how your friends connect to you and the connections we have. This lady was really pouring her heart and soul into our read, and I really enjoyed that. But that was one of the highlights too. But another one was, like you said, inside that spiraling, you know, room with the little sheets going around with the green lights, the laser lights coming through. And then we got to dance at the end. We got to dance we call it the Wasak dance in Nemanha language, but it's like a celebration dance, like a sea dance, where they were doing the closing ceremonies, which was pretty cool. And I really enjoyed that. But I think the cool thing was just, you know, it was, the highlight was also the end of a new beginning. You know, we actually created this new energy, and now we're going to go out to the world and share that energy with new people and new situations and a whole bunch of new things. But I had a blast. I mean, I had a fantastic time. I wasn't sure what we were going to get into, what was going to happen, but I was like, man, it changed my life a little bit. You know, these things change your life in a positive way.
Well, you know what it felt like? Go ahead. I was going to say, it felt like to me like we're in our element. We were where we belonged, you know, we were doing the work we're supposed to be doing, you know, and we all go out into the world and do the other things that we need to do to survive and to you know, to make it through a day. But that there is what we're here for.
Yes.
Right. Actually, that was awesome. We're all sighing because it's just
still marinating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I set the intention, and I think we all kind of did in our own way, of this year being the year when we really take off. You know, I think last year we spent some time laying some groundwork, getting ourselves out there, becoming, you know, more of who we really feel we should be, and expressing that in the world. And I think this year is when it really comes together. In ways, you know, that it's needed to come together for a while, but we just weren't ready. I feel very focused. I feel very committed. I feel very, like the vision is there, you know, and that we can do this and we will do this, you know. And unlike ever before, I feel like other people are on board with us too.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And then setting the intentions for abundance, even in our financial situations, you know, mm-hmm. that the funds will come. They are coming. They are coming, mm-hmm. and we're not going to have to strive so hard for it, that the universe is abundant and will give us everything we need to get things moving, you know, to get things started, to get our boost, to have gas in our cars, to mm-hmm. be able sure. to travel when we need to travel, to have
our own vehicles
free.
To do these things. And, you know, there's billions of dollars get spent every day on things, you know, all kinds of things, and it's energy moving around the world. So we just have to make ourselves available as portals to take in this energy and to channel it towards things that people are hungry for. There's a real mm-hmm. hunger for what we have to offer. I mean, we see it everywhere we go, that people are going, yeah, this is new, this is different, this touches me somehow, you know. I like these people, I like what they're doing, you know. It's fun, mm-hmm. it's exciting, it's inviting, you know. It's and so we have what many people want, you know, and we will be given opportunities to do that. We'll be given avenues through which to express that. We'll be given resources to back us up. It's just being there and being unafraid to step into it. You know, mm-hmm. I often tell people that the only reason we're leaders of a sort is because we just stepped out and said, hey, if no one else is going to do it, we're going to do it. And that's all it is. You know, if no one had ever noticed, I'd still be doing it because it's fulfilling to me. But the fact that people have noticed us and come around us and discovered themselves through what we do just tells me that we're doing the right thing, you know. So that's it.
You got to step out of your comfort zone. Don't care what other people think about you, and do what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you're called to be a clown, right. then yuck it up and be a clown, mm-hmm. you know.
Sure. If you're supposed to be a mime, then
yeah,
be a mime,
you know.
Shut up. What? No. No, but here's a question in the chat room. Could you talk more about our vision, the Condor Eagle Society, what we're about? So I think we'll all give a little version
okay.
of what we see about what the Condor Eagle represents to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, let's start with you, Iggy, if you don't mind. Yeah.
So I'll give you my version of what Condor Eagle Society means to me. For me, it's the unification of people. Unification of North America and South American energies, because we're all on this planet together. We're all humans. We're all there's no difference between us except culture and waters and land masses that separate
mm-hmm.
us. But the vision of the Condor is a prophecy from Peru, which speaks about the eagle and the condor merging together as one. The new part of this prophecy that you probably don't hear much about, but the Hopis talk about a little bit more than maybe the Incas and the native peoples of Peru do, is that fusion of those birds. Creating the Thunderbird. You probably heard of in Hopi tradition, they talk about the Thunderbird. The
yes.
Thunderbird is the condor and is the eagle when they become one. They become this very powerful being, this entity, this spirit, this unification of love, hope, and peace for the earth. And so as the Thunderbird flies through the air, it just touches every human being on this planet. And that's what the colors represent on the banner. On our banner, the purples, the blues, the greens, the yellows, the orange, every human being that you could possibly imagine. And the sky blue represents the endless skies and the endless unfolding, untouching that you can just go through the whole planet. And this bird just sends that love. And that bird is us. You know, that energy is us. So it could be called the sparrow or the cardinal. I don't care. But the point is, it's about unification and love and all the beauty that everybody possesses and bringing it out and showing it and understanding that we have a dark side. We have a shadow side, which is the condor. You know, it eats the flesh of dead things and it recycles it, but it also has purpose. And that purpose, in it, mm-hmm. you know, poops it out through guano. I call it magical guano ride.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the eagle on the other side that is this magical bird that soars high into the sky and communes with spirit. So you have a lower bird who's down on the ground but flies as well. And then you have this other bird who, you know, can see two miles from a depth, you know, up in the sky, you know, flying where planes fly. And these two birds come together and they merge, kind of like a transformer type, you know, situation. You know, transformers, you know, they merge and they become this new thing. And that's all of us, because when we all come together, all our energies, we put our fists in the middle and we just like create this energy
mm-hmm.
and this abundance and this joy and this happiness. That's what I feel about Condor Eagle Society. And that's what
mm-hmm.
I feel about what we do. That's my version. So I'd like to hear your versions. The story.
Okay.
Now, mine is, I come from a very right-wing background, and I needed to start getting more more balance in my life and my journey. And it's just like coming, when I came back from New York, I was at a drum circle, and I met David, and I met Silver Bear, and I met some other people at this drum circle, and then you helped me meet Iggy. And when I saw the Nimmin Hall and the Condor Eagle and all that society, it's like, I'm supposed to be part of this. I felt like I was found my home, pretty much, or my people. So, and then I learned my name was Singing Eagle, which is someone who, an eagle is someone who flies high and communes with spirit. And that is what I do. That's part of my calling, is communing with spirit and giving people messages from spirit, and then taking messages to spirit from others who don't necessarily can pray for themselves or can praise for themselves or do that. Because I was in that spot one time where I felt like I was, why be a turkey when you can fly with the eagles, you know? So, and I felt like I was a turkey at one time. I was stuck in a box. I was stuck on the ground. I was stuck in a certain place. And I had to get out of that box, get out of that cage, and let my wings soar. And I had to find a group or a ministry or something that was going to let me be me, let me soar like an eagle, the eagle that I'm supposed to be, and get above the clouds. Get above the mountains, get above the trees, and do what I'm supposed to do, and let me be free. And hey, since I've been hanging with you all, since I found the ministry I was supposed to be in and the people that I'm supposed to be with, I have never felt so free in my life. And they said spirit sets you free, the Lord sets you free, but he's been saying get out of that congregational situation. Mm-hmm. Get away from those people who don't really see your gifts and abilities, and get with people that do. And it took our little unconventional type of thing in order to do that, to be on the path where I'm supposed to be. So that's how I see our ministry. If you're a non-conventional person, if you know your callings and you're see yourself as one of the Motley Crue or not normal, then you belong with us. Because we are not.
We'll take you in. Yeah.
Because we're a group that lets you be yourself, you know. And, you know, that's how we are. And that's how I see you, David and Iggy and the other people in our group. That's what Condor Eagle is. It's bringing people together. It's using your gifts and ability that Spirit gave you to the best of your ability. It's being free to use your gift and to be who you are in that spiritual sense. And even in just everyday fun sense, because we have a good time, you know. So if that can explain it somewhat.
Absolutely.
Now your version.
Okay. Well, I agree with everything you all have said. You know, I agree with Iggy's vision. I know how dear that is to you, and you've enlightened all of us as to what the real meaning behind that Condor Eagle prophecy is. I really do feel like we're living it in these days. You know, these days were the ones prophesied about by so many traditions around the world. You know, when the people would come together, when they would heal the land again, when they would be peacemakers. When the day of the Lord would return, you know, when the Spirit would be poured out upon all people, you know. So I feel we're living in that time now. And it may not seem like it to people living here every day, because we're so caught up in the illusion of the news and our jobs. But the change is here. The change is here. These are the times. So the Condor Eagle Society to me is a home. First and foremost, it's a place for me to plant myself, grow in the ground that I'm supposed to grow in, which doesn't mean that I'm standing still at all. No, that's what I like about our group, is that we're always in motion. We're always looking for the next place to be of service, to bring our healing power and our healing, and to be healed from, too. But for me, the Condor Eagle Society is going to grow, too. It's going to become a home for other people to find that in for themselves, too. We're going to have outreaches of ministries for earth healing by planting permaculture gardens, maybe in neighborhoods that need to have that food source, you know, and taking the knowledge of that and the education of that out there into the world. We're going to be planting trees. We're going to be praying for the earth, healing the waters, because the waters are so important to this world, and they've been so neglected, as has everything else, but the waters especially have been calling out to my heart and to many of us to come and connect again. So we're going to be doing that. I want us to also have an outreach for, you know, for the drumming that we do. The drumming builds community. It's not just about the fun that we have, which we certainly do, you know, and bringing people together. The drum calls to us like our heartbeat. So bringing that to the world, it so needs the community. You know, we're so divided up over trivial differences when we don't realize that we are one family, and we need to get back to that. And that's what the drum message is. We are one family. So we have that. You know, I want to have a children's outreach to kids, because kids need to know that it's okay to be different, that it's okay to care. Oh, I'm gonna crack up here. It's okay to care about nature, to love animals, you know, to be kind, to be empathetic. Because I'm talking about me too. Uh-huh. It's so close to me, you know. This is who I was as a child. Was somebody
tears
who had so much feeling inside of myself that I didn't know how to express it. And I want to have an avenue for them to know that it's okay to be that way. And that's just a few ideas, you know. Those are things we can all incorporate and more, you know, as we bring our other visions together. But the Condor Eagle Society is growing. You know, we are the new ancestors. We are the living spirit that is here now. And we are, what did I say today? I said we are inspired by the past. We are engaged in service in the present. And we are nurturing the seeds of the future. That's our vision and our goal in whatever way you want to put it. But that's how I feel about it.
And that's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Oh,
wow.
Thanks.
We all get all choked up here.
Yeah, well, I'm like about to cry, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing what one person's vision of something just spawns off and grows into this amazing thing. I mean, I never thought that anybody would even, when I was given that task, I didn't know where it was going to go. I had no clue what was going to happen. And along the way, I met you guys. I remember when I met David, you know, David, I met him at Mystic Nirvana.
I was
teaching a class there, and he wanted to learn more about what I was doing, you know, and so he told me about his Alaska and all those things, and I just encouraged him to tag along and come to some of the things we did, and we met so many people along the way that I can't even count on my fingers anymore, you know, how many people we've
it's
met.
Amazing.
How we all have connected, you know, is divine opportunities, divine, you know, connections. We were all meant to connect, you know, at one time. And it's just like some of us have just been down the street from each other all our lives or passing by or something and never, you know, noticed until now. It's just like, the shields are taken off of our eyes so we can see each other and meet at a certain time and place in this existence, you know? So it's wonderful. Everything is for a time and season.
I know when my tribe asked me to reach out and share my medicine to the world, I didn't know what that meant. I really didn't know in the beginning. But I knew the things that I liked and the things that I had learned. And I remember one of the first huge drum circles I did where there was like, God, I think there was 50 people in that room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this small space, and all the things, and you know, I had been doing this, but I was starting to take it serious. You know, I was starting to go, well, there's something going on here that I don't. It's much bigger than me, and that was the big thing that came to me. And then that's how I met Todd. That's how I met Dainta. That's how I met all these people, and that's how all these people have come into my life and gravitated. And the people who didn't resonate with what I was doing personally, or the beliefs that I had, kind of fell away from me, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's no problem. I have nothing wrong with that. I still see them, but they're just where they need to be. But I tell you, it turned into it's hard. Sometimes it's like I look back and I'm going, wow, you know, this is amazing. You know, I can't even put words to it sometimes. And all the faith that you guys have in what we're doing, to me, is very, very, it warms my heart to see Katie here and David calling in and just being part of something that, you know, we've helped develop along the way, which just came from a little seed and it's growing and growing and growing and growing. And Condor Eagle Society is open to everybody. It's not just people who are in the metaphysical community. This is for
people of all walks, cultures, and religions.
This is like our faith, you know. We believe, you know, in different things, but we all come together, you know, to share that common belief.
Yeah, over 5 years ago, I was in a large congregational church here, non-denominational church here in Columbus, Ohio. David even visited church program with me and what.
Yeah,
and that. And it's just like, you know, one day something happened.
Time, Katie, you know, yeah, you know, even at that time when I was with you then, I could tell you were different, you know, and everyone there could tell you were different too. You know, I got the vibe that, you know, you'd always been a little bit on the fringes anyway, but now they knew that you were growing beyond them. They knew you were growing out, you know, and you were actually coming into your own, and you could see it in their eyes and the way they treated you. So, yeah.
It was time for me to go, you know. It was time. Some of my philosophies and things had changed, and I had given all I could to that congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, I was there for almost 20 years, and then even when I was in New York, I would take things back to the congregation, and the pastor would use them and use my ideas and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it came to a point where I could give no more. I could do no more. I had gotten to my edge at that congregation, and it was time for me to go because I didn't sit there anymore. My puzzle piece had changed shape.
Yeah, that's a good view. Mm-hmm. That's a good view of that. That's a great view.
So it was time for me to go and move on into somewhat my own ministry, and it was with you all, you know. So, and then kind of fitting in too with helping out with Christianity and the blending of Christianity with Krishna consciousness too. So. And I can see where my part there also is kind of not, it was a bit a prominent part as the transition took place. But now, even with that, I'm not so much involved in that as I am with you all. And they understand that. I'm like, as our ministry grows, my association with the Krishna conscious people will be there, but not as much as it was during the transition between Christianity, you know, my time at the church and my time with Condor Eagle.
You know what's so cool is that there really is not, like, no particular leader, you know, in the group. There's no, like, leaders, but there's no gurus either, you know. There's, like, no one that we none of us worship either, any one of us. We just honor and respect each other for who we are and for what we do. And we agree to disagree, and we all kind of just blend in wherever we need to blend in, you know. And we're like everybody else. We have our differences, and we have our issues, and we have our disagreements, which is normal.
Yeah, sure.
And the cool thing is that, you know, that doesn't change us. You know, it doesn't, like, we don't, oh, I'm just going to leave, you know. When we're angry, we get pissed off, yeah, but we keep
going. Go to our separate corners, then we come back.
And, you know,
we're working through.
Katie's been real with me. I've been real with Katie, and David's been real with me, and vice versa. We've all been real with
one another. I've been real with Katie. She's been real with me.
Yeah.
It goes around.
We punch each other down in.
But you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what's made our relationship a lot stronger than people probably realize. And, you know, sometimes we get angry at each other, and that's normal. And I like that, because at least you can say, hey, you know what, Katie, I'm really kind of ticked off at you. But you don't take it personal, you know, like you would say. Like, you know,
no.
I've done that before. You know, David, you've done
it before. I would always want to hear whenever you say that, or anybody says that to me, okay, I want to hear what I did, you know. And and if I apologize, then I want to apologize from my heart. I don't want to just say it in words, you know, because you're all important to me, you know. And how we work together is important to me. How we play together is important to me. And I just want to say, too, that, you know, there's times once in a while I kind of step back and go, I look at what we're doing, like when we were drumming with the belly dancers, or when we're doing the drum healing in Ash Cave, or just any particular moment, you know, that I step back and I go, I would never have believed 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago that I would be standing here doing this now. Wow. You know, it's like, this is real, but, you know, it seems like just a dream almost sometimes, or it would have seemed like a dream back to the me, you know, a decade ago, to go, you know what, David, hang in there, because you're going to be doing these great things. Look at what you can do. You wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing drum healing. You're going out and you're leading people on shamanic walks. You know, you're a drummer. I mean, the fact that you drum is just amazing, because I didn't think I could have a lick of any musical talent. But I'll tell you what, it's just spirit. It's all spirit-led, and I'm so grateful, you know, to be just a humble servant of that spirit.
Yeah. And then we have new people coming into the fold, which is amazing, too. And they're bringing their energies.
They are. And one thing I want to mention is there was that time when you were thinking you didn't have any talents or anything, David, I remember. And we were like saying, yes, you can do this and you can do that and you've got this talent. We were all egging you on saying, yes, you got this. Yes, you got that. And you were doubting yourself, being a Gemini.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And then going back and forth, should I go back to Alaska? Should I stay here? Should I go back to Alaska? And we're like, you know, we wanted you to stay. And we wanted you to be who you are.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all had that
moment.
Yeah. I want to go back to Peru. You want to go back to wherever you were from. I remember that.
So it's like, okay, we were wondering if we should all stay together and do our calling, or should we break up and go our separate ways.
Like
and
the Beatles.
It's just like we did for a short period of time, and then we knew it was time for us to come back together and get this thing moving, get this party started,
right.
You know?
We did have a point where we asked ourselves that question. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we sat there and we were like, I don't know what we're doing. Or we really said that. We didn't know what we were doing. What are we? What's our plan?
Yeah.
We have a plan. Yeah, you know, I remember sitting in my kitchen at Henderson Road, if you guys remember this.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I was like, are we making a difference? We just stay in our jobs or whatever, vice versa. We really asked some tough questions. And you know what? And I'm really glad that we are sticking it out and have stuck it out because we've done some amazing things. And even people who are just coming into the fold have no idea the things that we've accomplished together and apart as well. Mostly together, we've done some amazing, amazing, amazing ministerial work, amazing healing work, amazing, you know, transformations in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything we're doing is really about transforming our lives inside of ourselves and the things that we need to, you know, learn. We have more courage than we probably had in the past, you know, to speak our true voice, more courage to, you know, express ourselves. You know, maybe we're not as shy maybe as like we used to be. Now I think we're to the point where it's not that we don't care what people don't think. I don't think it bothers us to the point where, you know, like it, you know, it doesn't really matter what you think, because, you know what, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I believe it so wholeheartedly in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And this is such a passion, you know. For me, it's passion. I left a restaurant. I closed a restaurant down, okay, to follow my passion and my dream and my desire to share what's in my heart with the world, you know. And now it's like, the world is my oyster to do whatever I want. Now it's like I don't know where to go sometimes. But that's my new journey. That's my new that's my new lesson. You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's like, whoa, it's like, okay, I can fish over there, I can fish over here, you know, I can move anywhere I want to go now. I'm not landlocked like I used to be. I'm excited, you know, I'm excited for the possibilities. You know, there's so many things coming to us right now that I don't, you know, my head is like, burr, 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 you know. You know, I'm like, I mean, we're talking about intentional communities. We're going to Peru with people in July, those who can travel with us. We have shamanic walks like you talked about, David. We're doing things that we talked about now. We're actually doing them now. They're starting to fold. I remember we talked about your book, David. You know, you've already written a book, but we were talking about write a book. And, you know, here, I'm like a proud dad, you know. I heard David, and I go, David, you need to write a book. You know, I knew he already wrote a book, but then we didn't hear from him for a while. He just like disappeared. And the next thing you know, my book's coming out. I was like, awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want. That's inspiration. That's something that, you know, that inspires us too. You know, it doesn't just, you know, David's actions of writing a book, it also inspires us to move forward. Are we going to write a book? Am I ever going to write a book? I don't know. But the point is, he inspired me to inspire myself to do other things that I know that I'm capable to do, you know. I have other
gifts. It's possible.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just like with our walks and stuff, and even though we go on some hard hikes and whatnot, you know, whatnot, I'm using Mark's word, whatnot. That, I mean,
he's got a patent on that, you know, you can owe him money.
That, you know, anybody can do it, because here I am. I y'all started doing it, just the two of y'all, and I said, I want to be a part of this too, and I can do it, you know, even though it's hard walks and hard climbs and
she's like little sister.
All that. It's just like,
yeah.
Okay, I have things wrong with me. I am, you know, this big person, but, you know, I push myself to do things even when I don't feel like it, and going up and down the cliffs and the hills and going up the hills and all that. And I tell anybody, if I can do it, mm-hmm. with my metal parts and being 100 pounds overweight and all that, anybody can do it. So I want mm-hmm. other people to come and join us in our hikes and our walks and different things. And it doesn't matter what kind of abilities or disabilities or whatever you think you have,
yeah.
you can do it. You can come be a part of it. Come learn about nature. Come push yourself. Come see what is the integrity in the what you got on the inside, your fortitude. You yeah. can do it. I think we should have some sort of boot camp too sometime.
You know, I've seen us all grow.
Shaman boot camp.
I've seen us all grow. The three of us, I've seen the three of us yeah. grow. I mean, leaps mm-hmm. and bounds.
That's right.
I mean,
in many ways, that's right. You yeah. know, and I'm so glad you've joined us too, Katie, because, you know, it was going to be the Iggy and David show, but now it's the Iggy, David, and Katie show. It's like, yeah. and you add some, you bring some different energy and some different aspect to it that Iggy and I couldn't have even done. So, the fact that you bring, you know, your strength and your, you know, your divine feminine warrior spirit to us, you know, it's wonderful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm glad to have you along. You know, we are like a family. We're like brothers and sisters, you know. We can even get on each other's nerves sometimes, I'm sure, but, you know, we love each other, and we always will, and because we've gone through some things, and we've seen some things. And even if it's just, you know, there's been times when we've planned these shaman walks, and people said, oh, I'll be there. We get there, and we're the only three. We still go on
yeah.
those shaman walks. We still have a wonderful time. We still learn something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. That's what it is when you open to spirit, because we're not really the teachers. We're the channels for spirit. We don't come with such an agenda that we are not open to what's going on in the moment. We want to open other people's eyes to what's going on in the moment, and then we learn from them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and even on our walks, we in the caves and different things we've been to, there have been people along the path that we have stopped and talked to and helped and ministered to along the way, along the path. So it's sometimes it looks like it's just us three, but then mm-hmm. there's other people there too, and they want to, you know, hear us, like the time we were in Rock House. And we had our drums, and we played a little bit. There was people singing there before us.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we came, we played our drums, and
mm-hmm.
I sang a little bit. And we had our own little ceremony service right inside Rock House. And then even
mm-hmm.
on that little side path, too, that little side cave. I like that
mm-hmm.
little side cave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's our little spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was
it
neat.
Was kind of...
Yeah,
kind of difficult, well, a little bit difficult for me to get up there, but I made it, and I was able to get up into that
yeah.
little space and then climb back down. So
mm-hmm.
it was rewarding. And we had two guest people with us, and we did some...
We've had, yeah, that one, yes.
You did some clearings and some stuff. Okay, I don't know if that was when we went to Rock House or not. Or
it was at Rock. It was at Rock
okay.
House.
I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So it was a nice day, a nice outing, you know? And then that time that we were all muddy,
yeah.
we went to Bob Evans afterwards. But
no one would wait on us, remember?
Yeah.
We were all dirty.
Yeah, we were dirty here.
Straight from the Appalachian Mountains. You know, people
yeah.
are like, get out.
They were having their Sunday dinner, and we come in all grubby. And,
yeah.
and But, you know,
well,
finally the
there's
manager
a lesson
week.
In there for them, too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you know what? I bet you our minds would be just blown if we knew how many lives we've touched by just being out there and by being seen and interacting with some people. You know, I wonder sometimes about you know, like yesterday I gave that girl who painted on my body, you know, painted on my shirt, you know, mm-hmm. the little girl, I gave her one of my fans, you know, and I just walked up to her and said, I would like to give this to you. Thank you so much for doing what you, you know, for painting on me and being a part of that. She came up to me later and said, I want to say thank you for this. And she just was really heartfelt about it, you know, and I know that touched her deeply, and I hope she cherishes that for years. But that mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. I'll cherish for the rest of my life, you know. And I know when we go drumming at Ash Cave and people bring their families through, you know, when you see the little kids just connect with our drum, they want to come over and drum with us, you know. And sometimes the adults mm-hmm. do too. But, you mm-hmm. know, you see them dancing, or, you know, even, you know, some uptight people might start dancing, you know. But they're having fun, you know, and mm-hmm. they're connecting with something beyond themselves. And we've touched their lives, you know, for whatever effect that has down the road. You know, they carry a little piece of our work with them, and that's an honor. That is an honor.
That is, because they see us doing things in maybe a different way than what they're used to, but we're still honoring mm-hmm. the earth, we're honoring spirit, we're connecting. There's a different vibe with us than what is the norm, what is seen as the norm. You know, even mm-hmm. the ones that didn't understand our burning of our sage that one time.
Yeah, that was funny.
I know, somehow the family.
Yeah, we touched funny. Them in a positive way, you know. Yeah. Maybe they later realized that they were wrong for doing you know, butting in on what we were doing. But, you know, right. everybody doesn't worship or praise or honor the divine in the same way, but we all honor the mm-hmm. divine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, like there's a saying on. I've seen a saying on Facebook before that says, "I sin just because I sin differently than you do doesn't mean that I'm any
I'm
less.
Wrong.
I don't know that I'm wrong or a sinner
yeah.
or something like that. Mm-hmm. So which kind of means the same thing, just because I praise or honor the divine differently than you do doesn't mean I'm not honoring the same divine
right.
source of all things, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, we have more, I think we have more fun doing it.
mm-hmm. I'd like to think so, yeah, you know. Oh, well, you know, I was going to say that, talking about those walks, you know, I remember the time when all the Boy Scouts came through and the Scout leaders, probably the same time when we got talked to about the sage burning, but those kids were rowdy, I mean, and they were kind of uncontrolled, and they were disrespectful of nature, you know, and they found a toad, and they were going to toss this toad, and I don't know, who knows what else with it, but I stepped up, and I said, look, give me that. Give mm-hmm. that life form to me, you know, and there was a boy that was with him, too, said, he was arguing with him, kind of saying, well, that toad's got a right to live, you know, you come in, and I'm saying, yeah, you're right, you know, so I reinforced his view, at least in his eyes, you know, that he's going to go on and say, look, there was an adult who stood up for me, with me, for the rights of that little animal that those kids just yes. disregarded as nothing, you know. Because one kid said to me, well, it's not like he's a human being, you know, and I said, it doesn't matter. That is a living being there, you know, and that has a right not to be hurt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're in
You know, I
house.
Felt passionate about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I hope they remember that. I hope they do. But those are the moments that we have along the way, you know, that define us, you know, and we get to make those kind of expressions and those kind of reactions and initiate some thought in some people. So teachings can come everywhere. We learn all the time, and we do teach all the time, and we're taught by spirit constantly. So it's just part of that wonderful journey that we're on.
Yes.
Well, I'm just sitting here watching you guys and listening to you guys. So cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and we have you to thank for it. You know, I mean, you've kind of been the nucleus. You know, I know you're hoop watcher on the outside, but you've also kind of held us together and given us a focal point, you know. And although we don't, you know, call you necessarily the leader, you're still our chief, and you're still our the one that we respect. And, you know, I would drop whatever I'm doing to come if you needed me, you know. And
same
I think I have before.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Actually, you both have.
Yeah,
well, I really appreciate it.
And that's it. That's what family's about. That's what friendship and loyalty and family are about. You know, is we care for one another, and that's part of our love and our ministry to one another.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for that. You know what? I'm the same way with you guys. If you ever needed anything and I could help you, I'm there. I mean,
yes.
I don't keep tabs. I don't keep score, but you know what? I'm there. That's what a community does, that's what a family does, and that's what a society does, and that's who we've become.
Yeah, just
I can't say we were always like that, but, you know, we're about now.
Just like last week, I had a procedure I needed to get done at the hospital, and I needed someone to take me and to drive me, and I asked Iggy if he can do it, and he stepped up to the plate, and he was there for me. And the doctor's like, "Do you mind him listening in on the conversation?" I said, "No, that's one of my best friends. He can listen to what's wrong or right with me. I don't mind. I'm not embarrassed or nothing."
I
like
even
that,
asked you
so.
Too, because
yeah.
I wanted to do privacy as well.
So
you're like,
you
"Nope,
you should have told him that's my malpractice lawyer," and he went.
But I needed to know what was going on the inside of me, if anything was wrong or something. And then, you know, he was there, and I found out there was, you know, everything's right on the inside of me,
that's
you
awesome.
Know, with my physicality and stuff, you know. So, which was good news, because even if there was some kind of bad news or something, I would want, you know, one of my good friends or, you know, someone
mm-hmm.
to be there for moral support, you know, anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm glad he was there with me. You know, so he didn't
you
have
know,
to see
kid,
you
I feel
so
I feel sorry for, I feel sorry for anything that comes up against you, because you will kick its butt.
I'm ornery.
You'll go down fighting to the very end, you know. I swear, you've got more strength than I've gone through more than anyone I know, you know. So there's hats off to you.
I've got my mother to thank for that, too, because
mm-hmm.
she never took "you can't" or anything negative for an answer, pretty much. She never talked
mm-hmm.
down to us. She never called us out of our names. She never told us that we were stupid or we couldn't do something. She always told us that we were smart and that we can do better than what we were doing, and that we were better. And that she was always very positive. She was our best cheerleader, and also our best critic. So it's
mm-hmm.
just like, if we weren't doing right, she let us know that she was disappointed and all
mm-hmm.
that. And after I got a certain age or whatever, my mom never really spanked me or nothing after I was 4 or 5 years old, because she never had to really talk to me harshly, because I was, sometimes I tell people I'm like a Benjamin Button. I was born old.
Yeah,
and
but
I
you wanted to know why things were the way they were, and you had a very curious and open, you know, mind, and you wanted to express yourself. So,
I had to learn how to be a kid. So now I'm more like a kid than I was when. And then she's like, then she used to ask me, "When are you gonna grow up? When are you gonna do something responsible?
Don't ask this group
when
this.
Are you gonna?" And I'm like, I've already been there. I've taken care of everybody, been everybody's caretaker, and all that. And she kind of saw that at the end, and she said, whatever the Lord has for you to do, is it your medicine work, be it with the Krishna conscious people, be it whatever, she said, "I give you my blessing, and you do, and don't let anybody deter you from the path that God has for you." And
mm-hmm.
she let me know that she's known I've always been different, and that I've always been, she's always admired me. Because
mm-hmm.
I was stubborn, and I wouldn't let anything
mm-hmm.
get in my way or
mm-hmm.
deter me from my beliefs or my path. And it was nice to hear that my mom admired me. And when she called me stubborn, I said, "I'm only a mirror of you," you know, because she said yes, because she said she was stubborn. I said,
mm-hmm.
"Where did I learn how to be stubborn and tenacious from?"
Mm-hmm.
And she smiled. Even on her, you know, sick, she was transitioning. She smiled and she shook her head. You know, she knows I learned it from her. My strength I got from her. And her strength she got from her mother, because I remember my grandmother, how strong she was. And they're all medicine women. And passed the strength and the knowledge and all that down from one person to the other. And I know she wanted my sister to be the medicine woman and follow in her footsteps, because my sister became a nurse and stuff. But she also let me know that my sister wasn't as strong as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And physically and mentally wasn't as strong. And then even she came back to me after she had transitioned and let me know some things also. So, and she's with me. I felt her yesterday. Kim kind of, our friend Kim Warner, Kinetic Chemistry, kind of told me that in a message also, because I had asked her about, she saw two people in one of our pictures. And I said two people because there was me and Dwight were in a picture together, but she said there was another woman that she saw in the picture. Mm. And I said, that's probably my mom, because my mom was with me Saturday because I wasn't feeling good. And I was very much grumpy and in pain, and I was trying not to be so. And I know you all kind of noticed it, but my mom was with me and on Saturday. She was trying to get me to be, you know, to lighten up a bit. And I know Kim
well,
saw that in the picture.
I don't want to thank her for that.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, because you all know my attitude, my, you know, how I am. And I can be happy and jolly and laughing and chuckling, but when I'm feeling grumpy or mean, I can be grumpy and mean. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to like that with my friends.
Yeah, then I point to the corner, Katie. Over there, corner. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Well, we love you through it, you know. You know, so that's all we do is we just let you be you and let you have your expression of that. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to be that way because that's the way you are. And besides, I'd probably get punched, so it's, I don't want to do that.
You know when I hit you is I'm mostly joking.
Yeah. And you know, anybody who's been... Anybody who bends over around Katie is open for spanking.
If you bend over, please don't bend. There's something in me that when I see a butt bent over next to me, I just want to smack it. So don't bend over next to me unless you want to be smacked. And
That happened in the booth on the weekend. We were like, it was funny. I was just cracking up. I was like, I think I put like lips on the back of Adriana's sash there, those lip things, and I kissed her lips in the back. It was just funny. We were just ornery, man. We're just like,
oh yeah,
oh, my God. But anyhow,
it's like that picture with all of us with our tongues stuck out. You know, it's like I said, that's a tongue race.
That was funny, man.
Oh, I put mine up as my profile picture for a while to see how many like. To see if you would like it or not. Nobody said anything bad about it, so which is
good.
That's just to
know you.
I'm gonna put up a nice one, maybe tomorrow.
If you know anything about us, we like to invite everybody to everything we do. I mean, that's something how I was raised, to just invite everybody who can come, and that's kind of what our society is about. We invite everybody to just be part of what we do and be involved with what we do, and you know, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it enjoyable. It's not that, you know, it's just more fun when you have a group of people. And you know, sometimes it's cool to do things by yourself, but there's something about the synergy and this vibration that's created when everybody's together doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had a big school bus and we wanted to roll around in it, I'm sure we would do that.
It's the magic school bus. Here we come. Yeah. It's the magic school bus. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. But we got about 4 minutes. Any closing thoughts, guys?
Oh, just my thing is just be good to yourself and be good to each other. That's one of my sayings. And basically try to love and be good to yourself. Because sometimes we're not good to ourselves like we should be.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
Flex it.
Well, I'd just like to say that, I'm sorry, are you done?
Yes, yes.
I don't want to step on you. I just want to say that, you know, spirituality doesn't look like just one thing. You know, if you're in a situation where everyone's expecting you to be just like them, go to the church that they go to, wear the same clothes that they go to, or that they wear, you know, listen to the same thing and learn the same, you know, and it's not fulfilling you, then you're in the wrong place. You know, you need to be you. And our Condor Eagle Society is one place where you can be you, and I'm certainly myself, and, you know, I've never been more myself than I am right now, I'll tell you, because nobody's telling me how to be. They're saying, David, you have things to give. David, we like what you have, you know, and express more of it. So one size will never fit all. It never will. Yeah. You know, that's the illusion of organized religion, is that every single person on this planet needs to think,
feel and believe the same way and worship God the same way. That'll never happen because we are not all the same. We're beautiful flowers in the garden. We're wildflowers, and you never see one kind of wildflower all over the place. They're mixed in there, you know, and they go where the wind blows because the wind is spirit and has blown us together. And I'm so grateful for the ground that we have been planted in and that we're working from. But, you know, go where spirit directs you. You know, let that be your guide, not somebody else is telling you you need to go work over here or do that, unless you feel that spirit calling you. Otherwise, be open. Be that dandelion seed on the wind and go where you're you're directed, because you will find the fertile ground there waiting for you. That's my sermon for the day. Thank you very much.
That's beautiful. That was awesome. Yeah. Both of you is awesome. Well, these are my friends, people. So, and I have more friends, but these two friends, they've been with me through thick and thin, through cries and tears and happiness and all kinds of good things, and long trips, short trips. And I can't thank them any better and any more than by saying I love you guys very much with my heart deep, deep down in my soul. You guys mean a lot to me.
Wow.
So, you know.
Same here.
Let's just keep the school bus rolling. And
yeah.
We'll see everybody next week.
We'll be with
you
from the muck to the stars and back again.
That's right. Tomorrow's Lunchtime Wisdom at 11:30 a.m. Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe, sorry. With Katie and Mark and myself. So hopefully you guys can tune in. And then some other shows are coming up as we go. We'll introduce those tomorrow. Love you guys. Take care. We'll see
you. Love you,
too. It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. Peace out.
Peace.